Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Heel, Undertone, and The Librarians.
I'd like to start off today by talking about a movie called Heel. That is H-E-E-L, not H-E-A-L, which makes sense because this is basically a horror movie. And it was actually originally released under a different title, Good Boy. And when you combine that original title and then the title that it now has, Heel, it sounds like it's a movie about a dog, but it really is not. Although it's about a human being who is to some extent treated like a dog. So, okay. As I said, it's a horror movie. So here's what happens. The beginning of this movie, by the way, it was directed by Jan Komasa, Polish filmmaker, although the movie is in English. It starts off with a burst of noise and flashing lights and explosive visuals that make you think this is going to be one of these movies, which is nothing but noise and flashing lights and explosive vehicles. We're with a young man. And he is obviously a party person, and he is taking drugs and drinking and doing all sorts of insane, crazy things and hanging out with his friends. And again, it's just one wallop after another. And we have it with all of the noise and flashing lights and explosive stuff that he is in the middle of as a young man. So that's what you start to think this movie might be about. Then something happens, though, and this is the very beginning of the movie, where he is suddenly kidnapped. He is suddenly taken away. And it turns out that the person who has taken him away is this really nice-looking, very respectable-seeming man. He seems like your most ordinary kind of middle-class person that you could have. But this young man, he's, by the way, he's supposed to be 19 in the movie, has been taken away, kidnapped, spirited away by this very respectable seeming man. And not only that, but our young man, his name is Tommy, by the way, and the man who kidnapped him is named Christopher, and his wife's name is Catherine. So Tommy is not only kidnapped, but he is, yes, being held definitely a captive. He is chained up. He can't get away. He is in some place or other. He has no idea where, and we have no idea where, but we soon find out. It turns out that this seemingly very nice, middle-class, ordinary couple, whose names are Christopher and Catherine, have kidnapped Tommy and are holding him prisoner because he has not been good. Very specifically, it appears what most upsets Christopher is that Tommy did some driving while under the influence of various substances. And this really, really bothers Chris. He is very upset by this. This is something you're not supposed to do. But he just generally disapproves of Tommy's behavior. Tommy is, in fact, very clearly a young ruffian, a young hoodlum, a young scalawag. So yeah, okay, Chris is right about that. On the other hand, what Chris and his wife Catherine have done seems to be a whole lot worse. Kidnapping this guy and holding him prisoner with a collar around his neck and a chain that holds him in. So the movie proceeds. We meet Catherine, Chris's wife, who is very strange and very quiet and very dark and all of this. She's a peculiar person in her own right, but she's definitely in on this with her husband. And they also have a little boy, a very young boy. I should say not exactly a little boy. He's a young kid. His name is Jonathan. And he's also around. And he seems to take all of this in stride because this is apparently something that maybe has happened before. And he doesn't really understand it, but it's what his parents do. And so, okay, there he is too. He's also a part of the picture here. Also, and this is another way in which the movie sets up expectations which don't turn out to be exactly correct. There's a young woman who is working for the household whose name is Rena. She is from Poland, and she is not a legal immigrant, and she has to be very, very careful to mind her P's and Q's or she will get deported. And also, it turns out there are some very bad people who are after her for some reason or another that never quite becomes clear. And at first, the very beginning of the film, she's being interviewed for a job by Chris and his wife. And you think, well, it's going to be about her and it's going to be about her working there. Then she turns out to be a really minor character who just comes into the story every once in a while. Although once very late in the story, it's at a very crucial moment. And and she does something which helps to bring about the ultimate resolution of the movie. So that is what Heel is about. It is largely, although not entirely, about Tommy being held captive by this couple named Chris and Catherine, and eventually they seem to be nice people in their own totally demented and evil way. They give him more and more freedom. For example, he's still chained with a collar around his neck and a chain holding him to the house, but Chris sets up this elaborate overhead thing where there are runners and metal fixtures in the ceilings so that when they unlock certain locks along the way, Chris can move around the house. He can move to different areas. At first, he can go to the bathroom. Then he can go to the living room. He can go downstairs. He can sit at the table and eat. He can watch television with the family. But he's still chained up and got the collar around his neck. So you wonder where all this is going to go. And of course, as the movie proceeds, ultimately you find out. Now, my big problem with Heel, or I should say the big problem that Heel has with me, is that it really doesn't make any sense at all on a very basic level. For example, Tommy, the kidnapped person who is being held captive, could very, very easily, for example, grab that little boy who is the beloved son of Chris and Catherine and threaten to break his neck if they don't let him go. He could easily do that. But he never does. In fact, he behaves. As you might say, if you were training a dog, he heals. And eventually he comes to get along better and better with Chris and Catherine, his kidnappers. But that basic thing just did not make any sense to me at all. He could have escaped. He would have escaped if he were a real person and not a character in a movie who has to be kept captive. So if you can get past that basic not making senseness of the movie, it's a pretty interesting movie. I had a good time watching it. It held my attention. It's very well acted. I should mention that one of the main characters, Chris, is played by Stephen Graham, a very fine actor who a lot of people will remember from Adolescence, a recent TV miniseries that he was very good in. He's been in a million other things as well. Andrea Riseborough is very good as Catherine. Anson Boone is terrific as Tommy. He makes the character more or less believable. And it's a well-done movie. If only it made a bit more sense, I would have liked it more. But if you want a horror movie with a certain kind of a bizarre plot to it, where you can never really quite expect where it's going to go next, Heel is the movie for you. Now let's stick with horror for another moment and let's talk about Undertone by a new director named Ian Twossen. And this is a movie which has gotten a lot of press because it's an A24 release, and they're very fashionable nowadays. And it's a movie which has a lot of interesting sound components to it. So if you go to a theater and see this, as I did, make sure it's a theater with at least a halfway decent sound system so you can get some of that surround sound kind of stuff. As you can imagine, a movie called Undertone is about tones, among other things. It's about sounds, and it's a movie which is much heavier, in fact, on sounds, including speech, than it is on visuals. And I have to say, at the get-go here, Undertone is a horror movie which has no explicit horror in it, no gore. It's all talk, basically. So if you want a horror movie that isn't really all that horrifying, except for what people say, then this is the movie for you. It really, really, really is, as today's horror movies go, extremely mild in the visual department, although the story is somewhat horrifying, I will say. So Undertone, again, as the title might possibly indirectly suggest, is a movie about a podcast. And in fact, we only have one person really acting in this movie, that is acting in the usual sense. It's a very, very minimal cast. Yes, it is. We have Nina Keery playing a woman named Evie, and she's the only character who we see actually speaking and moving. Now, she has a mother who lives with her, played by Michelle Duquet, but this mother is completely paralyzed, bedridden, apparently dying, and never utters a word through the whole movie, and almost never even moves through the whole movie on the occasions when we see her. So we have the only person who we really see acting and moving and talking is Evie. And then there's one other character named Justin, played by Adam DeMarco, who we only hear his voice because, as we discover early in the movie, Evie has a podcast and her partner, Justin, is on the other end of the microphone. They're talking together and he's recording it. They're both recording it. And that's what they do. And their podcast is about, oh, paranormal events. And the way they work their podcast, and again, we only see Evie. We hear Justin's voice a lot, but we only see Evie while she's doing the podcast and on some other occasions as well. And the way the podcast is set up is Evie is the rational one, the one who doesn't believe in weird things happening in the real world. Justin is the one who does believe that paranormal things can exist and all of this. So that's the setup of their podcast. And what happens is that somebody sends them some mysterious audio files, and they decide they're going to play these audio files in their podcast and hear them for the first time while they're doing their podcast, and then comment on them and decide what they think of them. So the audio files turn out to be exactly the sort of things that you would expect to hear in a horror movie. It turns out to be some sort of a supernatural thing that may be going on. It has to do with children's nursery rhymes, which play a very, very big part in this movie. And the idea of hearing children singing or chanting a nursery rhyme and playing it backwards and hearing a different message. And sometimes Justin says, "Didn't you hear that? Didn't you hear that? It's really clear." And Evie says, "I didn't hear anything like that." So there's a lot of that sort of ambiguity. And you sit there in the audience of the movie and you're listening very closely now and trying to see whether the message is really there or not when you play the thing backward. And then it turns out to involve the name of a goddess pronounced backwards and this sort of thing that you're run into in horror movies. So that's what Undertone is about. It is about a podcast. It is about ambiguous and ambivalent audio files. It is about inviting us to hear those audio files along with our podcast hosts. And all of the thing comes eventually to a conclusion. And all the while, we have the very, very sick mother apparently dying upstairs. And we come back to her every once in a while. So, Undertone is a very, very subtle movie. I also found it somewhat muddled. It's not always 100% clear exactly what is going on with those audio files. Okay, that's partly deliberate ambiguity, but maybe perhaps just because the movie itself is a bit muddled. But it's a refreshing sort of a film. It's a horror movie without any gore at all. It is a horror movie where almost all the horror comes through hearing what people say or perhaps sing, and a horror movie where, oh, it's very subtly done. So I can't say it's a great horror movie. I can't even say it's a very scary horror movie, but it is a horror movie, and in its own way, it is very subtle, and that alone makes it a refreshing change of pace from the usual run. Finally, today, I would like to totally switch gears and talk about a documentary. It's been around for a little while. It's on PBS and it's worthwhile. The Librarians, directed by Kim A. Snyder. This is a movie about librarians fighting the idea of having books from their mostly school libraries pulled out and banned and not made accessible to children. The libraries who we see and hear in the movie are almost entirely against these efforts at censorship. They are for providing access to these books for their children in their schools. And it is about the parents who fight these librarians and want the books pulled off the shelves and banned and kept away from at least young readers, if not all readers. Of course, the books very often contain what may be seen to be political content, what may be seen to be DEI content, what often seems to be LGBTQ content. We have this kind of book which is being furiously attacked by conservative members of the local society. And so you do have the question here of to what extent do members of the local community have a right to interfere in or have a say in what is available on the shelves of their children's schools? And you also have the idea of what rights do parents have about what is going to be on the shelves in their children's schools? And also you have what are the rights of librarians as professionals who presumably really know what they're doing and who have chosen books and selected books and put books on the shelves because, in their professional and sometimes scholarly judgment, they are worthwhile books which expose young people to a wider world and all the different ways of looking at that wider world. And they really believe in this, but members of their community and some of the parents don't believe in this. And so you have these real conflicts that are set up. And yes, some of this documentary shows school board meetings where we have very ferocious battles, verbal battles, fortunately, between people on different sides of this issue. There's a politician or two who plays an important role in this documentary, and it's a very, very interesting movie. I wish it were more interesting. I wish it really took sides in a more decisive way. It seems to me to be sort of wishy-washy and something that always bothers, well, not always, often bothers me in today's documentaries. It plays this treacly, mushy music all the time to make us sympathize with this person or that person, and I don't like that manipulative music, which gives the movie a kind of a sentimental tone that it really shouldn't have. But as a movie that intelligently raises very, very current issues in a reasonably even-handed way, but a way that I can agree with. It basically seems to be on the side of the librarians who aren't for thrusting these books into the hands of kids. They're just for making these books available to kids. It's a movie that really does get into the issues and allow the audience to think about it and to make up one's own mind about it. So The Librarians, it's not a great documentary, but it's a really important issue that it tackles, and I do recommend looking at it. It is widely available. The Librarians, well worth seeing. So that is my partly horrific, partly non-fictional story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Heel, Undertone, and The Librarians.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.